Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the first Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study of the new year. My name is Jeff Greider. I'm the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are paying a visit to Habakkuk, the prophet, to whom the word of the Lord came around 626 BC. And what Habakkuk was burdened about was for the Israel that was in front of him, and for the Israel that would be regathered in unbelief millennia later. Habakkuk drops a number of prophecy bombs that have much to do with us living in 2021, the majority of whom will stand and face Antichrist in the days after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. Habakkuk is a fascinating fellow, and your knowledge of end times Bible prophecy will be much improved after spending some time with this old-school prophet of the Lord. The prophet Habakkuk gives us a very short but very intense look at events that take place over 2,500 years into the future from the time that Habakkuk prophesied to the Jewish people. For those of us who have spent any time in Revelation, his prophecies are very familiar. It is also in this amazing and usually overly looked book of the Old Testament that we see the word Selah appearing multiple times. We know that whenever and wherever the word Selah pops up, that we are smack dab right in the middle of the time of Jacob's trouble timeline. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great service that we had this morning and all the hundreds and hundreds of people who tuned in and are tuning in the archives all day today, God. And we just pray, Lord, that your word, we just thank you that your word went forward in spirit and in truth, and that people were blessed and edified and drawn closer to you. And Father God, we just pray for this Bible study tonight, the first one of the new year. And Lord, you've put us on the front lines of the end times, and we ask you to keep us here and laboring for you and give us everything we need. Take care of our financial needs and of our home needs and the food, the clothing, the shelter, everything that we need, Lord, to be fruitful and useful for you. We just pray, Lord, that you would allow us to get something done for you, and we commit this however many Bible studies we're going to have this year. But Lord, if you be willing, we'll be standing here in the gap every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and we'll just keep doing till you call us home. And we just pray, Lord, that this show would lift you up tonight, and that this Bible study would exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad to see. Oh, the chat room is nice and filled already. Good to see everybody here. We got some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff going on. And it's almost hard to stay focused with everything that's happening in the end times. And I knew that 2021 was going to get off to a good start. I really didn't know how quickly things were going to get started. Do you remember the article that we did over the weekend where Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, they're getting ready. They started the 117th session of Congress tonight. And we told you over the weekend that they are aiming to make this this new session of Congress gender neutral, right? And how crazy is that? And they want to take out the words mother and father and son and daughter, all words that are given to us in the Bible from God. God creates gender. The book of Genesis says this, Genesis 2:23-24. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, The 117th session of Congress got started tonight, and I want to play this clip for you. This was the opening prayer. If you can believe what you're about to hear, this was the opening prayer of the United States Congress just hours ago. Take a listen to this.
May the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen and a woman.
Now, that's the Congress of the United States of America. They just dedicated their 117th session to the Hindu god Brahman. And I just put a picture into the chat room of who Congress just dedicated the 117th, or is it 170? No, it's 117th session of Congress. And you heard that man say that they're dedicating it to Brahman. And Brahman is the Hindu god. And I just put the picture into the chat room so you can see who the United States Congress is now dedicated to. This nation is going to fall, and it's going to fall hard. We are going to be all over this tomorrow, Lord willing, in our Monday Prophecy News podcast. So if you're available tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, we are going to be showing you how crazy that this year has gotten already, and we are only 3 days in to 2021. And you have the United States Congress dedicated to the Hindu god Brahman. And I didn't even comment on the fact that when he closed his little prayer, he said, amen and a woman. Amen doesn't have anything to do with the word man. Amen is a Hebrew word, which means let it be so. And you say amen when you're agreeing to what's being said. It has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with men or women. This is the level of stupidity that we are operating at now. And not just stupidity, this is the level of paganism that we are operating on, where they dedicated the United States session of Congress to the Hindu god Brahman. And I don't know about you, but that is absolutely insane craziness. Joshua went to battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua went to battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. They got no sin. Joshua went to battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua went to battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua, he was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until the work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about your men of Saul. There's no like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow them around, the Joshua cried, cause the battle I'm in my hand. The God knows when Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho.
Josh, you fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul. There's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. They tell my great God that Joshua's spear was well nigh 12 feet long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. He had bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Oh, blow them around, the Joshua cried, 'cause the devil can't do you no harm. Got no sin, Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Then up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in hand. Oh, blow them around, the Joshua cried, 'cause the battle I'm in my hand. Then the lamb round sheep horns began to blow, the trumpets began to sound. Old Joshua shouted glory, and the walls come tumbling down. The God knows, and Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, down.
Amen. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho. And we talked about that last week. And we looked at the Battle of Jericho. And we looked at the great work that God had called Joshua to do. And tonight we're going to be looking at the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Tiny little book, only about 3 or 4 pages long, 3 little chapters. But man, oh man, does Habakkuk pack a lot into those 3 little chapters. Habakkuk 1, verses 2 and 5 say, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." We have entered into a time where unbelievable things are beginning to take place, and on the world stage, Bible prophecy is leaping off of the pages of the King James Bible and into your news headlines. We told you about this story. New York State Assembly proposes new bill number A416 that would take disease carriers and place them in a holding area designated by the governor. That's right. If you live in New York State, you need to know that they are proposing a new bill in the New York State Assembly, bill number A416. And that bill states that they have the power and the authority to arrest and detain anyone that they believe is carrying a communicable disease. The bill does not mention COVID specifically. It's a very far-reaching and wide-ranging bill. And New York State, they want to arrest you and detain you and to take you to an undisclosed facility where you will be held for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and in many cases, you are going to need a court order to be allowed to leave the state-run facility, wherever that is. And to me, that sounds like a FEMA camp. If you live in New York State or New York City, you need to start praying right now that God would give you boldness to begin to witness exactly where you are, and at the same time, pray that God opens a door for you to get out. Because the cities are getting ready to go apostate. They're getting ready to go. It's 1984. And this is what's happening. And you're going to see it in Washington. You're going to see it in Oregon. You're going to see it in Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, all the places that are run by Democrats. And that's where it's going to start, but it's not going to stop there. Regina said, "That's what the Nazis did in Germany." Absolutely. That is what the Nazis did in Germany. And the book of Ecclesiastes says, "The thing which hath been is the thing which shall be, and there is nothing new under the sun." And man, oh man, we are getting ready to ride into a storm. But you don't need to worry if you're saved, because you've found a faithful friend in Jesus Christ.
Saved a whole lot of years now, and I've found him to be that faithful friend. In the darkest days of your life, he'll be there. When you're on the mountaintop, he'll be there with you as well. Boy, those times when he's walking through your valley and he's shining light upon the living. That's, by the way, that's when he becomes such a real Savior to you. Hope this song will be a blessing to you. I've found a faithful friend. Heart has ever known. When you're standing in your darkest trial, and it seems as though you're standing all alone. When the tears fall down like bitter rain, and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend.
That's right.
Oh, yes, have a look into his name. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me. Oh, face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing, and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend.
I've been walking with that faithful friend for almost 30 years now, and I can testify that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you if you're saved to the end of the world. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming again in power and in might and majesty and great glory. And he's going to come get us like he promised to do. He's going to come up in the clouds and he's going to get us. But before that happens, we are watching a global deception. The global campaign to vaccinate the world is actually a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity military agenda designed to enslave us. And that is exactly what's happening. Tomorrow on the podcast, I'm going to be playing some clips for you from Robert Kennedy Jr., who gave a very powerful and impassioned speech. And he talked about, for a man who he's a Roman Catholic, and I don't know that he has any testimony of salvation. But man, oh man, when you hear him talking about things from the book of Revelation, and he's talking about this global scheme that's happening right now, is he calls it, he says that it's going to bring about a dystopian end time society where we are going to be enslaved to a world government. This is Robert Kennedy Jr. saying these things. And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, Lord willing, on our Monday noon Prophecy News podcast. So if you can make it, you're not going to want to miss that. We have so much to talk about. It's crazy what's going on. The first 72 hours of 2021 are almost completed. And it has been already the first 3 days this year has hit the ground running from a prophetical perspective. And it's exciting. And the reason why it's exciting, because God is doing a work and he is getting something done. The prophet Habakkuk, and we're going to be looking into his book tonight, only three little chapters, but they are power packed. But Habakkuk says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." And then in Isaiah 28, Isaiah has much of that same theme in Isaiah 28, where it talks about the covenant with death and hell that the Jews are going to make with Antichrist. Well, it's actually, they're going to confirm that with Antichrist. It's going to be made before he shows up. But in Isaiah 28, it says this, "Because ye have said," verse 15, "we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." And then if you look down in verse 21, Isaiah 28, 21. "For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon." And Habakkuk is talking about the same thing tonight, that he may do his work, his strange work, and to bring to pass his act, his strange act. Anita in the chat room is asking, "Is this the covenant with Antichrist?" Absolutely. The Bible calls it a covenant with death and with hell. And this is where the Abraham Accords are going to lead you. Everybody is looking at the Abraham Accords and they're saying, "Isn't it great? Peace in the Middle East." What does Paul say about peace in the Middle East without the King of Peace? 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child." And Paul is making a reference to Jeremiah 30 verses 5 through 7 when he says that. And he says, "Then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." That's the Abraham Accords. And when you're a Bible believer, this is why you have to hold politics very, very loosely. And this idea that you're going to support the right candidate, that's a great thought, but it's a very, very hard goal to achieve, because it's everything changes so rapidly. Who was it that created Operation Warp Speed, and who's going to use the military to vaccinate everybody in America? That wasn't the Democrats. Who was it that created the Abraham Accords that's going to lead Israel eventually to confirm the covenant with Antichrist? That's not the Democrats. So one thing that you have to understand, whatever happens on January 6th, and I know everybody's all excited and everybody's talking about January 6th, but again, you need to hold politics very loosely. Because if you don't, you're going to be very, very disappointed. We are not politicians. We are Bible believers. Now, we talk about politics because the Bible talks about politics. Have you ever read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus is talking about the commission that he's giving to Saul, who is about to become Paul? And what does Jesus say about the Apostle Paul and the job that he is there to do? Jesus says that Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The Apostle Paul was sent to witness politically to the kings of his day. Go read Acts chapter 26 and see the amazing witnessing conversation that the Apostle Paul has with King Agrippa. It's really quite illuminating. And so, because there is so much politics in the Bible, because God is concerned with the affairs of nations, one nation in particular, the nation of Israel, one race of people in particular, the Jewish people, every other nation, the Bible says, is the drop of a bucket to God. And that includes America. So if you're going to be a Bible believer, you need to hold politics very, very, very loosely. And let me tell you something. No matter what happens on January 6th, we're going to wind up in the same place. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump gets in, Donald Trump doesn't get in, Joe Biden becomes president, he gets removed with the 25th Amendment, and Kamala Harris becomes president. I can promise you one thing, that no matter who is our next president, it is going to lead us to exactly the same place. And you can bank on that. And why? Because we are in the end times. And the word of the Lord is going out, and it will not be thwarted. It will not be stopped. And it has no difference who's in the White House. The word of God stands sure, and everything that he has prophesied is going to come true. And how exciting is it that we are watching it come true? We are part of the generation that are going to see these things come to pass, and they have already begun to come to pass. Isn't that exciting? I don't know about you, but I get excited when all Bible prophecy is fulfilled. The negative prophecy, the positive prophecy, the hard stuff, the sweet stuff, and everything in between. And why? Because all of it is the Word of God. And if you're going to take the sweet stuff, then you better take the bitter, and you better have a smile on your face when you take it, because all of it is God's will. And when I look at what's happening, when I look at 2020 and the incredible, crazy year that we just came out of, and we are only 3 days into 2021, and the United States Congress is dedicating itself to the Hindu god of Brahman. Man, it's like living inside a Chick Track. It's like living inside the pages of the book of Revelation. And do you know why it feels that way? Because that's exactly what's happening. That's why Habakkuk says what he says. Habakkuk says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day," and it's happening right now. Habakkuk says, "I will work a work in your day." He said this 2,500 years ago. Habakkuk says, "I will work a work in your day, which you will in no wise believe, though it be told you." Do you believe it? I believe it. It's time to get ready, because it's coming.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and we ask for your blessing on tonight's program. Be with me as I teach, Lord, and speak through me. And everything that you've put on my heart, Lord, everything you want me to say, cause me to remember it. And everything that you don't want me to talk about, cause me to forget it. And Lord, I pray if there be one listening tonight who's lost, that you would make them aware of their lost condition and make them reach out in the chat room and just tell someone that they want to get saved. And Lord, we'll stop the show. We've done that many times before. We'll bring the whole thing to a stop and we'll deal with that lost soul and we'll tell him or her what they need to do to get saved and to get right with God and how to accept that payment that you made for all of us on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, as we go even farther back than that, we go back to the time of Habakkuk. And Father God, make it clear, make it plain, just like Habakkuk says, write it on tables that they may run that read it. And Lord, we need to do some running in our day, not running away, but running into the fight. And Lord, bless this time in your word. And we just pray, Lord, that many would get saved and the people who are listening who are saved would get holy fire to get on fire for you, God. And we commit this time to you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's 2021 and this is our first official radio Bible study of the new year. This is the 11th year that we have been broadcasting these Bible studies. We started way, way, way back in 2010. And by his grace, we are now in our second decade of doing these radio Bible studies, and we have greatly expanded our programming. We do the Monday and Friday Prophecy News podcast that starts at noon Eastern Standard Time. We do two Bible studies per week, Wednesday night and Sunday night, from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for the last 2 months, we've been doing the NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. And that started out, that was a surprise to me. I had no idea that God would tap me on the shoulder and say, start a Sunday morning service. And I didn't even know that there was such a great need out there. But so many of you have responded favorably. And you tell me that these programs that we do, the worship service that we do on a Sunday morning, is a blessing to you. So I have already made the commitment. And that is now a regular part of our lineup. And we, Lord willing, we will be doing all these programs, the podcast, the radio Bible studies, the Sunday morning house church services. So please keep me in prayer and please keep Now the End Begins in prayer because we are going full speed for the Lord. And It's exciting, and it's exciting to see so many of you getting on fire and requesting Bibles. And I'll say it again, if you want a really good King James Study Bible and you can't afford one, well, we have the answer. Send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we will send you a Ruckman Reference Bible, and it has all the maps in the back, it has all the appendix in the back, and the best Bible commentary that I have ever used. And I've been using my Ruckman Reference Bible since 2010. That's when they started publishing them. And Dr. Ruckman, he waited till he had been teaching the Bible for about 54 years before he felt qualified to have his own study Bible. And it was well worth waiting for. So if you would like a really good study Bible, but you cannot afford one, send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we will get them out to you. I went to the post office yesterday, and I brought an entire case of Bibles going out all across America, going out to the Netherlands. And I tell you, sometimes I sit here and I read the requests, and I see where they're going, and it brings tears to my eyes to see how people are getting hungry for the Word of God. And we're giving you the real stuff. We're giving you the old-fashioned King James, pre-tribulation, rightly divided, dispensationally correct. We don't dumb it down. We make it simple so that you can understand it, so you don't have to be a Greek scholar to know what's going on. God preserved his word for English-speaking people in English. But we also have the King James Bible in Spanish. So if Spanish is your main language and you would like a King, now it's not a Ruckman Reference Bible, but it's the King James Bible in Spanish, you send me an email and we will send that those out to you as well. So let's get started with tonight's Bible study. Let's get started with tonight's Bible study. Let's turn to the book of Habakkuk. And for about 6 months of last year, we have been talking about Habakkuk 1 verse 5. And that's the verse that I've been telling everybody, this needs to be your main memory verse for 2021. Habakkuk 1 5, let's read it again, and you might as well get used to it, because we are going to be talking about this verse a lot in 2021. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And the prophet Habakkuk is a very interesting guy. He's one of the minor prophets, and he's not a minor prophet because of what he says. He's a minor prophet because he doesn't have that much to say. He only gets three little chapters. Somebody like Isaiah gets 66 chapters. Somebody like Daniel gets 12 chapters. And the minor prophets, they're called the minor prophets because their books are not very long. But what they have to say is very, very powerful. Look at the first four verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. And if you can keep the comments in the chat room focused on what we're talking about, that would be fantastic. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Now, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Habakkuk is crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, God, can't you see what's going on? Why won't you step in and do something? And Habakkuk is crying out to the Lord, and he is asking God, why are these things taking place, and why aren't you doing anything about it? That's a really good question. Have you ever wondered why God seems to be silent in your life? Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't say anything at all? And then all of a sudden he starts talking and it comes at you from every angle and it's so fast and it will usually happen after a long period of silence. When the Old Testament came to a close, God gave the Jewish people 400 years of silence before he spoke to them again. And when he spoke to them again, it was in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke. And God gave the Jewish people 400 years of silence. And why? Because of their unbelief and because of their disbelief. Isaiah 62 verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 62 verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now here is a marvelous thing. Isaiah is prophesying, and the Lord is saying through Isaiah that he has set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, and they are not going to keep their peace day or night. And he tells them, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And here in the church age, thousands of years later, we are called to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, I know that that passage from Luke chapter 12 doctrinally does not apply to the church age, but the principle is the same. Because when we go to, say, 2 Timothy chapter 4, what do we read? 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And then he closes that charge to Timothy by saying, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Back in Isaiah chapter 62, God says that he has set watchmen on the walls of Israel and of Jerusalem, and they are there to cry out day and night. And he says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. We are called to be preachers and teachers of the gospel of the grace of God. And we are called not to be silent. Man, oh man, that clip that I played for you at the start of the program tonight, when that religious figure, that chick track religious figure who stood up and he said, amen and a women. And he said that we dedicate this opening of the 117th Congress to Brahmin. Wouldn't you have loved to have been sitting in that room with those people? And to hear that man say, we dedicate Congress to the Hindu god of Brahmin. Now, Isaiah says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. If you would have been in that room, or if I would have been in that room, the way that you fulfill Isaiah 62:6, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. If we would have been there, we would have stood up on a chair and started preaching the gospel. And that's what this verse is talking about. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. That cuts across all dispensations. You can take that and you can put that verse in every single dispensation. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And believe me when I tell you, in this year that we're only 3 days into, and it's already off the charts, unbelievable, you're going to get your opportunity. If you're one of those people that make mention of the Lord through preaching or teaching or witnessing or handing out gospel tracts or asking people, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you're one of those people, I'm one of those people. If you're one of those people who make mention of the Lord, Isaiah is telling you, don't keep your mouth shut. Stand up and say something. And then the next verse, verse 7, and give him no rest, talking about the Lord, and give the Lord no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's Isaiah 62, 7. Now, don't you find it kind of interesting that Isaiah is telling you to you get on the phone with God and you start talking to him and you don't give God any rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, let me tell you, let's fast forward to the end of that. The time when God is going to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth is at the second coming, Revelation chapter 19. That is the moment, that is the day when God is going to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. It is not a praise in the earth right now, but it will be at the second coming. It will be after the battle of Armageddon, when Jesus is going to sit on the throne of his father David, and he is going to rule and reign in righteousness, perfect righteousness, for 1,000 years. The Bible says in Revelation 19, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. That's us. And the armies which were in heaven. Paul says that ye may please him who has called you to be a soldier. Soldiers fight in armies. And here, Revelation 19:14, that's us, the born-again church. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, all capital letters. He is Jehovah God. He is the express image of the eternal God who never leaves heaven, who sits on his throne. Jesus Christ is capital K, King of Kings, and he is capital L, Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16, telling you that Jesus Christ and the Father are one and the same. In the Old Testament, when you see capital L-O-R-D, it is talking about God the Father. And here in Revelation 19:16, John gives Jesus the same title that the Old Testament gives to God the Father. And you shouldn't be surprised about that, because what do we read in the book of Isaiah? And we just had Christmas time. And what does Isaiah say in Isaiah 9:6? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Now, we've spent all this time and we've only gotten through the first five verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. And do you see all these cross-references that I'm giving you? You see how everything is connected? Now, in Habakkuk's day, he was talking about the God raising up the Chaldeans, and he's talking about things that took place historically back in his day around 326 BC. But I want to show you something. Let's start reading in Habakkuk 1 in verse 6. Habakkuk 1 verse 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, for they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. You want to see what that's talking about? Turn to Luke chapter 21. Turn to Luke chapter 21 and I'll show you what Habakkuk is telling you about. Luke chapter 21. Let's start reading in verse 20. Luke 21, 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And this is going to come to a head in the time of Jacob's trouble. So when we read the prophet Habakkuk, and we see that he's talking about things that historically took place around his time period, we see that there is a huge similarity between what Habakkuk is talking about and what we read about in Matthew and Mark and Luke and the book of Revelation that have to do with the time of Jacob's trouble. Habakkuk 1:12 says, Habakkuk 1 verses 10 through 12. Habakkuk 1, 10 through 12. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall he change his mind. Who is he talking about? All of a sudden, here in Habakkuk 1:11, talking about an individual. Then shall he change his mind, and he shall pass over, imputing that his power... Hold on. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Now, if you know Bible prophecy, you know exactly who Habakkuk is talking about, because Daniel mentioned him in Daniel chapter 11. Habakkuk says that then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Look at Daniel chapter 11, and look at verses 36 through 38. Daniel 11, 36 through 38. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined, shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then verse 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Daniel, of course, is talking about Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about Antichrist. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 11 is talking about Antichrist. Now, the one thing that you have to remember when you're looking at Old Testament Bible prophecy. Now, Cheryl just made a very good comment. She said that word marvelous has a different meaning these days. It used to confuse me. Now, the main thing that you have to understand about words in the Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 17. I want to show you another example of a word that kind of seems out of place until you realize the power of this word. Revelation 17 verse 6, well actually Revelation 17 5 and 6, John is taking a look at the Roman Catholic Church hundreds of years before it would even be created. And John is looking at, he's looking at the Vatican, he's looking at the Roman Catholic Church, and in Revelation 17, verses 5 and 6, he says this, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." John is not admiring the whore of Babylon. But when it says that he is wondering with great admiration, he is looking at this thing and he is astonished. He can't believe what he's looking at. It's kind of like when we see that word woe, W-O-E, in the Bible. And we've all seen those silent movies from 1920s and 1915, the silent movies where the damsel needs to be rescued by the hero, and she's saying things like, woe is me, woe is me. That word woe is a very, very powerful word. And when you see that word woe in the Bible, W-O-E, it is talking about absolute calamity. Now, Paul is saying that the Roman Catholic Church is not the whore of Babylon. I would disagree with that statement. The Bible clearly says that the Roman Catholic Church, she is the woman that rides the beast, and she is like a harlot. She is, and the reason why we say this, it says here, if you look in verses 3 and 4, look at 3 and 4 of Revelation 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So Revelation 17:4 says that this woman is fornicating and she is filthy. And Revelation 17:5 says she is the mother of harlots. A harlot is an old-fashioned word which means prostitute, and it means whore, W-H-O-R-E. Anita is asking, does this harlot whore have children? Absolutely. The charismatic movement, they are part of the children of the whore of Babylon. And that's why you see so many of them I played you the clips of Kenneth Copeland dedicating his whole church to Pope Francis. And I played those clips. Maybe when we get back from this break, I'll play one of those clips and you'll see what I mean. And with that, we have to take our first break of the night. And when we come back, don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. And we have so much to talk about. We need to get back to Habakkuk. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Amen, and we're back for hour two of our first Bible study of 2021, and we're glad that you're with us. We are in the book of Habakkuk, and if you were here for the first hour, we were all over the place, and we were in Revelation 17 and Isaiah 62, and now we're back in Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. So verse 12 says, "Are thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, and the creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice into their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Now, turn to Revelation chapter 9. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. And I want to show you the end times religion that's going to be taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble. And just to give you the context, again, I want to play this little 49-second clip of the 117th Congress that opened today, that they dedicated to the Hindu god of Brahma.
May the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
So there you have the 117th Congress today dedicating the United States Congress to the Hindu god Brahma. Now, it's kind of funny that they did that, because they're actually right on track for Revelation chapter 9. Turn to Revelation chapter 9, and I want to show you what the one world religion is going to look like. Now, when they dedicated the Congress to the Hindu god Brahma, well, this is going to fit perfectly into Revelation chapter 9, verses 20-21. Hey! Remember, we've been talking about all the Bible verses that begin with 2021. And if you haven't had time to listen to that program, you need to go into our archives, and they're right here on nowtheendbegins.com. But if you haven't listened to our Bible study program, where we talked about all the many verses that point to 2021, and the verse, and I pulled out dozens, 6 pages of Bible verses that all have the numbers 20 and 21. And man, oh man, did we discover some incredible things in that Bible study. And I'm going to put that link into the chat room. When you have time, go back and listen to that program, Bible Verses That Point to 2021. And I promise you, if you haven't heard it, it will be a blessing. It will be a revelation to you. And if you have heard it, go back and listen to it again, because you're going to pick up things that you didn't get the first time. And here we are in Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. And that is Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. And today, the United States Congress was dedicated to a pagan Hindu god named Brahma. Can you see why I am so excited about the first 3 days of this year? Why everything that we've been telling you, it's all happening. It's all coming true. And in fact, if things continue to get crazy like this, I'm going to have to step my game up, and I'm going to have to start doubling down on a number of things that we've been talking about, because things are heating up to such a degree that something is going to bust. Something is going to break. And I don't know about you. Now, Maddie in the chat room is saying, who was the person that dedicated that? I don't know. Let me see if I can just quickly find it for you. I don't know what the man's name. He was a black man, and he was a minister of some kind. And I'm just looking quickly on Twitter. I don't see his picture. I don't know who he was. He was a black religious leader of some stripe, of some kind. And I see a number of videos on Twitter where that, I think it was, he's not a minister, I take that back. His name, he's a Democrat from Missouri, and his name is Emmanuel Cleaver. That is who, yes, his name is Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, and he's a Democrat from the 5th District of Missouri. And he's the man that said that crazy stuff. But Revelation 9, 20 and 21 shows you what the one world religion of the end times is going to look like. They are going to worship devils and idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone and wood. And they're not going to stop murdering and committing sorceries and fornications and thefts. This is all going to be part of the worship service of the one world religion. Now, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. Now, right off the bat, what this reminds me of, turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and in Habakkuk, he is being told that this vision is yet for an appointed time. But in Daniel 12:4, when Daniel receives this amazing end times revelation from the angel Gabriel, the same time period that Habakkuk is talking about, this is what Daniel is told to do with his revelation. Daniel 12:4. Actually, we're going to read Daniel 12, 4 through 7. Daniel 12, 4 through 7. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And then he is told in verse 9, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Back in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, Habakkuk is told, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So everything that Habakkuk is talking about, he is talking about things that are going to be taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble. And if you look in verse 2, Habakkuk says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Back in the Old Testament days, one of the ways that they got messages between the different camps and between the different people is that something was written down on a scroll, and a runner would come to the table, he would grab the scroll, and he was told to run to his destination and not stop for anything. And this is how they sent messages to each other during times of battles and wars. And this is how it was done in the Old Testament. They didn't have horses, and so they had runners who would run between the different camps, and they would bring messages. And that's the idea of what we're seeing here. Habakkuk is being told, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. So what I take away from that is Habakkuk is being told to faithfully proclaim his message and then to get that message out to the runners and to tell people what's going on. In our day, now we have mobile devices and we have the instant speed of the internet and all these things. We can communicate so quickly with each other now that email is now it is now considered snail mail. Remember when we used to say, oh, just email it to me, don't send it to me snail mail. Well, now we don't even need email. The vast majority of people that I communicate with on a daily basis is through Facebook Messenger. So we don't even need email anymore. And it's mostly used for business now. But people stay in touch with each other through things like WhatsApp and Instagram, but mostly Facebook Messenger, where nearly half the world is operating. So that's a fairly big thing that's going on. So Habakkuk is told to take the vision that God's giving him and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. And as we go through Habakkuk chapter 2, we see a number of interesting things. Verse 4 says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's what the Bible says. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. What's interesting is when the Apostle Paul is referencing this, and let me just find the verse quickly. I had it and it disappeared. Habakkuk 2 says, the just shall live by his faith. And Paul says that the just shall live by faith. There it is, Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then he repeats that in Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. But Habakkuk is saying that the just shall live by his faith. So why did the Apostle Paul, when he is obviously referencing Habakkuk 2:4, why does the Apostle Paul leave off of the word his? Well, that's because we live in the church age and we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And have you ever looked in the New Testament to see where our faith comes from? Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Do a word search sometimes for all the verses in the New Testament in the writings of the Apostle Paul that tell us that the faith that we actually have is the faith of Jesus Christ. It is not our faith that takes us home to heaven. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 3:22. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Look at Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, do you see the difference there in the subject and the object? We put our faith in Jesus Christ, but it is the faith of Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. What does Paul say in Titus 3:5? Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The people in the Old Testament did not have the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why they went to Abraham's bosom. We have faith in Jesus Christ, and it is the faith of Jesus Christ that justifies us and sanctifies us and saves us, and when we die, gets us home to heaven. It is our faith in him, but it is his faith that makes all the difference. Back to Habakkuk chapter 2. Back to Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 5. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increases that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? For thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood, and of the violence of the land and of the city, and all that dwell therein. What does that remind you of? Turn to Joel chapter 3. Reminds me of Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Joel 3, 1 through 3. For behold, in those days, what days? The time of Jacob's trouble. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lot for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. And that's exactly what Habakkuk is referencing. This is what he's talking about. Verse 13 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 13 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts, that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, that's never happened. The earth has never yet been filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord from sea to sea. But Habakkuk is talking about a day when that is absolutely going to take place. That reminds me of the book of Zechariah, somewhere around chapter 14. Let's take a look. Here it is. Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as in the day of battle, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half shall remove towards the south. And then you look down in that same passage, and it says in verse 20, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. And Habakkuk is talking about the day when the glory of the Lord is going to, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Verse 15, he gives a warning. Verse 15 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and make him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. So here it's talking about getting your neighbor drunk, and drunkenness is going to be part of the end times religion. And all these different things are going to be taking place. Verse 17 says, for the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and the violence of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake. Now we're back in Revelation 9. To the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath in the midst of it. People are worshiping. This is paganism. This is what they said in Congress just this afternoon, when they dedicated Congress to the Hindu god Brahma. That's paganism. And that's why we're seeing it coming back. Karen is asking, is that during the millennial period of time? Yes, that is during Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, that is the millennial reign of, that is the second coming, the battle of Armageddon, and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And then Habakkuk closes out chapter 2 with this. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You know what that reminds me of? Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Habakkuk says that the Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth keep silent. And what does John see in Revelation 5? And I saw starting in verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And I wept, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And Habakkuk says, as he closes chapter 2, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And with that, we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up chapter 3 of the book of Habakkuk, and it's going to get even crazier still. Stay with us. We have another half hour to go.
to die on a cross for crimes he had done. The thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." Said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to stay." The price I know he paid, by his grace I too can say.
For the last half hour of tonight's Bible study, the first Bible study of the new year, 2021. Let's pick up the action in Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionith. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known in wrath. Remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Now, what is Habakkuk seeing here? Habakkuk is seeing the second coming of Jesus Christ. Turn to the book of Jude. Turn to the book of Jude, and this is what Enoch saw. Look in the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. Look down starting in verse 14. Jude 1, 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Habakkuk is talking about here. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Well, at no point in human history does anything in or outside of the Bible recall or record that God appeared in Teman and the Holy One came from Mount Paran. At no point do we have a historical record of God's glory covering the heavens and the earth being filled with his praises. Why? Look at verse 4. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, and he beheld, and drove asunder nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. And everything that Habakkuk is saying here, that looking at the end of the middle of verse 3, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Now, if you've been around this website any length of time at all, you know that word Selah, which the NIV Bible back in 2011 removed all 75 instances of that word Selah from their so-called Bible. But if you have a King James Bible, you're going to see the word Selah appearing 75 times. And do you know what you find next to every appearance of the word Selah in all 75 places? Either immediately before it, immediately after it, or right in the middle, what you find is references to the time of Jacob's trouble and the second coming. Selah is a place. Selah Petra, in the red rock city of Petra, in the land of Jordan, which in the Old Testament was called Moab. And just coincidentally, Edom and Moab are two places that the Antichrist is not going to be able to get his filthy hands on. Daniel 11:41 says, He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief children of Ammon. And so we see that Selah Petra is an actual place that the Jewish people, when Jesus tells the Jews to flee into the mountains, they are going to flee to the red rock city of Selah Petra, and God is going to keep them safe there for a time, times, and half a time, for 3 years. So when you have time, read our article on Sila Petra. It's one of the first big breakthrough articles that we did on end times teaching. And I've added to it over the years. But man, oh man, if you can get a hold of that, that Sila Petra is an actual place. And that is where, isn't it fascinating that we already know where the Jews who have no idea what's going on, isn't it fascinating that we know where they're going to run for safety? We know how they're going to be fed. We know how they're going to be kept safe. We already know how Antichrist is going to attack them. We know how long that they're going to stay there. And we know that when we return with Jesus at the second coming, one of the first places that we're going to stop is Sila Petra, and we're going to pick up the Jewish remnant as we travel the King's Highway to Israel, to Jerusalem, where we're going to face the armies of Antichrist. And this is what Habakkuk is referring to in Habakkuk chapter 3. Kimmy is asking, do the Jews now know what's going on? The answer is a resounding no. The sadly ironic thing is here we are, the Christian church, and we're born again Bible believers, and we are spending 2 hours on a Sunday night in mostly the Old Testament, a little bit in the New Testament, but tonight we have been mostly in the Old Testament, where the Jewish prophets have sat and declared what's going to take place in the very near future in our day. And the Jewish people that they originally spoke these prophecies to don't even believe it. They don't understand it. You will never find a Jewish person who knows a meaningful amount about Bible prophecy, because they just don't understand what their own prophets have written. And why? Because the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Now, you have to remember that God's covenant with the Jewish people is a national covenant. It is not an individual covenant. So there are no particular Jewish people within the nation of Israel that God is obligated to. He is obligated to the Jewish people as a nation. If you do the right thing, you'll be on board. If you do the wrong thing, you won't be. Now, what's different is when you're in the church age, if a Jewish person gets saved, they have to forego the promises made to Israel. They get new promises. They get different promises. Depending on how you look at it, they might even get better promises. What better promise is there than eternal security? Can you think of one? Would you rather have the ability to do signs, miracles, and wonders? Or would you rather have eternal security so that nothing you could ever think, say, or do could cause you to lose your salvation? Wouldn't you rather have that? I mean, if you think about it, what's better than eternal security? And that's something that was given to nobody in the Old Testament. And it's given to nobody in the time of Jacob's trouble. We are the only dispensation that are eternally secure. Now, I would much rather have that than to have signs, miracles, and wonders. I don't know about you. Maybe that's just me. But the idea that you could never lose your salvation because you have been sealed unto the day of redemption, I'll take that all day, every day. And in the Old Testament, that did not exist. And that's why David says, I think it's Psalm 50, is it Psalm 55 or is it 51? Let me look here. I think it's Psalm 51 or 52. I can't remember. My mind is playing tricks on me tonight. Here it is. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, after David had sinned, what does he say? Psalm 51, verses 10 and through 12. Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That cannot happen to any believer in the church age. Verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. A comment in the chat room, but a messianic Jew would be raptured with the church so they wouldn't have to flee to Cilicia. They wouldn't be here. That's exactly right. Messianic Jews who are born again, they are part of the body of Christ. They will be taken out in the rapture of the church. So, if you're Jewish and you get saved, you leave behind the promises made to national Israel, and God gives you new promises, and I think we've made the case on some level, they might be better promises. That eternal security, that once saved, always saved, I'll take that every time. I'll take that every time. And I have lots of friends who are Jewish who have become born-again Christians. Dr. Bob Lieb from Boaz Baptist Chronicles, he's been saved for over 40 years. And when he got saved, I mean, he's as Jewish as they come. And when he got saved, he left behind the promises made to national Israel, and he has new promises now. He has the new Jerusalem and eternal security. If you're Jewish and you get saved, you're part of the body of Christ. And what does the Apostle Paul say? That when you're in the body of Christ, there is neither what? Neither Jew nor Greek. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's when you get saved and you get put into the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ did not start with the Apostle Paul. There's a group of people called hyper-dispensationalists. And they divide the scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells us to rightly divide. But there are some people who divide it too much. And Paul, the body of Christ did not start with the Apostle Paul. The church did not start with the Apostle Paul. Look at Romans 16, verse 7. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now here we have the Apostle Paul saying that he's acknowledging people who were in the body of Christ before he was. So the body of Christ does not start with the Apostle Paul. The church does not start with the Apostle Paul. The church doesn't even start with the day of Pentecost. When does the church start? The church started when Jesus went to the cross. That's when the church started. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible says that the church of Jesus Christ was bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 20:28 says, take heed to therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. That's when the church started. The church started on the day of The church started when Jesus went to the cross. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And then at the end of Acts chapter 7, the kingdom age closed and the church age began. How did it begin? In Acts chapter 8, with the salvation of the first Gentile who was added to the church, the Ethiopian eunuch. And that is where the church age started, in Acts chapter 8. But the church itself started when Jesus went to the cross and he purchased it in his own blood. Now, we have just a couple of minutes left on tonight's program, and I hope that you were able to see that Habakkuk, even though it's a book that most people overlook and they don't spend much time there, but if you want to give yourself a real blessing, spend some time with the minor prophets, the people who don't have a lot to say, but what they say is very, very powerful. Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai. Spend some time with the minor prophets, and you will see the main theme of the Bible repeated over and over and over again. And what is the main theme of the Bible from cover to cover in any dispensation? The main theme of the Bible is the coming king, and he's coming to receive the kingdom that was prepared for him from before the foundation of the world. That is the main theme of the Bible. And here in the tiny little obscure out of the way book of Habakkuk, we see verse after verse after verse talking about the day when the king comes and he comes to take his kingdom. And this is one of the major themes of the book of Habakkuk, and it is the major theme of the entire Bible. Let's take a look. Habakkuk verse 3, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and then 18, well, actually 16 through 19. Habakkuk 3, 16 through 19. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up to the people and invade them with his troops. This is the armies of Antichrist coming after Israel. Verse 17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. And then Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine hind places. To the chief singer, on my stringed instruments. And here we have Habakkuk closing with a reference that we find in 2 Samuel. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and look at verse 33. 2 Samuel 22, 33. This is exactly what Habakkuk was talking about. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me upon mine high places. So Habakkuk is referencing 2 Samuel 22, 33, where he says, the Lord God is my strength and power. That's exactly what we read about King David saying in 2 Samuel 22, 33. And with that, we have come to the end of our first program for tonight. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and for being part of Now the End Begins as we enter our second decade of ministry. This is actually the 12th year that we have been online and around the world and preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God and standing upon the authority of the King James Holy Bible as we do it. And I thank you so much. I love doing these programs. God absolutely raised me up to be a Bible teacher and a Bible preacher, and it really means a lot to me that we're all doing this together, that we're all going through this great time, this crazy time, this prophetical time, and we're all doing it as a global church family. And there's no place that I'd rather be when the end times are fast approaching than with all of us here at Now the End Begins, trying to get something done for the Lord while time still remains. And please keep Lori C. in your prayers. She's not feeling well tonight. And please lift her up to the Lord. In fact, let's just close. Let's pray for Lori C. tonight. Father God, we just lift Lori up to you, and we ask you to strengthen her and whatever that weakness is that she's feeling. We ask you to rule and overrule and take control of that situation and give her strength and comfort and courage and whatever she needs, Lord, to get back on her feet again. We ask you that you would do it, God. And for everyone here that is struggling, who has COVID or knows a friend or a neighbor or a loved one or a relative that has COVID, just about everybody is being touched by COVID now. And so we lift up everybody in the NTEB family who is struggling with COVID, and we ask that God would give us all the victory and keep us strong and keep us well and keep us on the front lines of the end times. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tomorrow, Monday, for our first 2021 episode of the Prophecy News Podcast. And we have a show tomorrow that is going to literally knock your socks off. You're not going to want to miss this program tomorrow, noon Eastern time. We'll see you here then. Have a great night, everybody.
For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes sweet melody for rivers that flow, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on that cross at Calvary, for taking my place, your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see. He's been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, from, I've got so much to thank him for. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.